Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez. We're going to get through this together. Let's hold hands. Come on now. All right. We're going to talk to Gary Lezak later. We'll have Sam Mellinger, Darren Smith, both from Denver. We have locker room sound, but right now we have Stan Weber in a car. Hello, Stan. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm glad you had the doctor on because I am no doctor, but I have been at the bottom of a pile and a lot of quarterback sneaks with 300-pound guys around. So I've experienced some of this, but I've never had my kneecap pop out of place. So I kind of wonder what all the ramifications are.
So, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Stan, because that is actually one thing that we have not discussed yet this morning on the show that I saw a lot of people talking about last night on Twitter in terms of should you really be quarterback sneaking with the quarterback who's already banged up that is your whole franchise. I will say I was sitting with my family when they decided to go for it. I said right off the bat, they got a quarterback sneak this. That's an easy first down. You see quarterbacks do it all the time. I don't remember the last time I saw a quarterback get hurt doing it. You've done it a bunch of times yourself. You have any problem with calling that play in that situation, or is this just a freak accident that happened in this situation, in your opinion?
Well, it is a freak accident, and you've got to play football. You talked about, I remember last week, we were getting ready for a game, and then we talked about a Thursday night game following. You remember the last time we were together?
Yeah.
The Chiefs hadn't played the Sunday game against the Texans. So I've obviously had the emotions all week long, and we talked about it last week. The risk of the Denver Bronco game, if you didn't beat the Texans and now you turn around and you're all beat up and you got a quick turnaround, you got to be the road team, which is a big disadvantage because you got to travel and you hardly have any time to get ready anyway, you got to win the game. And the Chiefs are in a situation where if they're going to go for fourth down, then you just got to call a play that makes sense. And if it happens to be a quarterback sneak, that's fine. You're not in any more danger on a quarterback sneak than you are on most other plays you run. Now, if you run quarterback run game, okay, if you're going to run the quarterback with a lead blocker, then you're taking chances. But just a quarterback sneak, the easiest answer is, where is the NFL tone set? Where is the best job being done anywhere, and maybe in history? It's New England. You have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and they run a quarterback sneak all the time. And Brady's old. He's got a big old brace on his knee. Does not want to take a hit there. And yet they do it. It's usually safe, and it's a strategy you got to use. If you're going to play Patrick Mahomes, you got to go out and win the game. That's the thing. It seems easy now because they romped and just crushed the Broncos. But at that point in the game, you're still nervous. Like, we got to win this thing. And so I have no problem with the call.
So let's – and look, we just had on Dr. Sulam Parekh, and he was terrific. We're going to talk to some other experts later on in the show. And you know, everyone pretty much agrees that this is best-case scenario, 2 to 4 weeks. We're going to find out after the MRI how serious any other damage is. And so that's where we are. But best-case scenario, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever. And so that's what we're hoping for. But no matter how long he's out, this team will have to rely more on the defense. And the defense could not have played better last night against the Denver Broncos. Is Denver an offensively challenged team? Yes. But they had won back-to-back games. They had some confidence, and look, the Chiefs looked terrible defensively last year, and the Chiefs had last year too, but had 9 sacks. They had played terrific run defense. They did everything very well last night, and so I know the Denver's not very good, but Stan, tell me some things that you saw last night that are building blocks, that are indications that this defense is starting to figure things out and can help this team win some games without Patrick Mahomes.
Well, we'll sort through that together here. Let's talk about some things that are significant. First of all, you start with Steve Spagnuolo. A great game plan in a short week. And it may have been plays that they have stacked up and they practice all the time. It may not have been all things designed. But he smelled the blood in the water. He saw what the Broncos' weaknesses were, and he attacked. A great game plan. First of all, they ganged up in the line of scrimmage and said, we have got to stop the run. They made a lot of choices. They took some risks. They were going to give up something in the passing game, but they said, we are going to stop the run. That's a brilliant strategy. You got to do it. You allow teams to run, then they can pass. It's your weakness. It's keep Mahomes off the field. All the stuff we've seen the last 4 weeks. You know, we've been talking about this. It hasn't been the last two losses. It was 4 weeks ago. Ravens, Lions, all those teams were showing us a blueprint of how you got to attack the Chiefs' defense and try to beat the Chiefs. It's not a surefire way to win. That's what you've got to do. They went out and made some choices. They stacked the line of scrimmage. Tyrann Mathieu was close to the line of scrimmage. There were so many guys close to the ball. It was unbelievable. But they also made another big choice. They put Reggie Ragland in the game. That's the first brilliant move. Now, is that applicable to saying what's going to happen in the future? Not so much. He can't play game after game, and he may not be the perfect fit. But at this point, big boy shoulder pads were needed, and he brought it. In the Texan game, when he came in, he's the guy that made the defensive play against the run. He's the one thumper in there that will stop the run and make a significant difference. So he played. We caught a break. Thursday nights are a sleepy night in the NFL. If you watch games over the last few years, a lot of times both teams just play asleep. They don't look like themselves. They seem like they're tired. They don't have the spark. And if you can create a spark anyway, you got the big advantage. Denver looked awful. They looked like a Thursday night awful. The Chiefs didn't look great, except for they just showed a little bit of spark, and they really relied on a couple of guys who weren't worn out. Ragland hadn't played that much. He was fresh on this Thursday night. Hitchens didn't play last week. He was fresh, and you could see it. Their legs were better than everyone else's. They were attacking, and it was the best of Anthony Hitchens that we've seen. But putting Ragland in the game and stacking the line of scrimmage was a critical double strategy that worked. And then when they saw that the Broncos were struggling and they weren't able to block the threat, they brought it. Frank Clark played well, yes. Everybody played well, but it was a great plan. Steve Spagnuolo put the defensive line, the offensive line for the Broncos, in peril. And he kept coming, and the Broncos had no answer. He crushed the Broncos. It was very, very nice. One of the biggest plays, though, guys, one of the biggest plays in the game that will quietly fade away. You may be able to tell me better, because I'm not going to be able to quote who made the tackle. But it was the second quarter. Mahomes was out of the game. I believe it was the second quarter, and Denver ran a running play and almost busted it for 70 yards. Someone tripped.
Morris Claiborne.
Mo Claiborne.
Yeah.
If Mo Claiborne, think about this for a second, and this is not going to sound, you know, politically correct, but if Mo Claiborne doesn't trip him up, he houses that, Denver has life, it's a game. And the Chiefs have to think about stacking the line of scrimmage. See, the risk is the Chiefs had so many guys attacking the run game. No matter where they lined up, they were thinking run first, pass second. They were playing tight coverage with that philosophy. They played good tight coverage. But the whole thing was, you stop the tape right before the snap of the ball. There are Chiefs all over the place close to the line of scrimmage. When the ball snapped, there are guys, safeties even, stepping across the line of scrimmage. The Chiefs said, we're going to bring people. We're going to be tough and stop the run. The only way you stop that strategy is bust a long run, because there was only one wave of players. Did you see how open that was?
Yep.
For Lindsey?
Yeah.
He was gone. It was a 5-yard gain, and he tripped and made it an 8-yard gain, right? We see that all game long. That's just a normal play in the NFL, not last night. If he doesn't trip, he goes to the house, and you start realizing, and then Aikman starts talking about, oh, wait a second. There's really just one wave of Chiefs coming at you, a giant wall of white jerseys crushing the run. But if you can slice through it a few times and get a touchdown run here or there, suddenly we got a ball game. So that trip, I thought, was one of the biggest plays of the game. It kept Denver's head down. The moralization was still around. The Chiefs never broke down in that running game and let them out of the house. And that was a big differential in the psychology of the whole night, where the Chiefs did such a great job. You think about Patrick Mahomes. When he went out of the ballgame, the Chiefs outscored him tremendously from that point without him. Matt Moore playing quarterback. Tyreek Hill, the dangerous player that he is, the most dynamic in the NFL. They found him. Defensively, they outscored Denver. I mean, they scored a touchdown, had 9 sacks, created a bunch of fumbles, and could have been more. So it was a great performance, something to build on, but don't extrapolate that the Chiefs' defense is just fixed. Okay? because there's two factors that keep it from being fixed. One is the Chiefs sold out on the run, and they can't do that every game. If there's a mobile quarterback, it changes the dynamics. It's great for the confidence. It's great to set up with Matt Moore at quarterback, complimentary football. This is awesome. The pass rush, unleashing Frank Clark, confidence, the linebackers, the weakness, playing well. It's all great. The psychology and momentum in football is big. But I will point out, it's not Denver. It's a Thursday night Denver. That's not what a Sunday football team is going to look like. Teams in the NFL oftentimes look like duds on Thursday. If you take their heart away right away, they just lay down, say, oh, we didn't have enough time to prepare. Oh, my arm's sore from Saturday, from Sunday. So the Chiefs still are going to have to prove it, but it's an awesome sign. It's a division win. It vaults the Chiefs forward. And obviously the Patrick Mahomes question is a giant question for the Chiefs. But if there's any silver lining, if the MRI comes out okay today and he doesn't have to miss much time, remember his left ankle is having a chance to rest as well. And if he does come back in 2, 3, or 4 weeks, he'll actually be fresher than he was before. It's not a trade-off. I'd rather have Patrick all the time. But his left ankle didn't get twisted in this game, so he got a little bit of rest. We're a week and a half away from the next game. His left ankle healing at the same time as his knee, if his knee's okay, is the silver lining if there is any. But we just got to hold our breath at the MRI. I blew my knee out, and everyone has their I blew my knee out story, right, Nate?
Yep.
Everybody has their no one wants to hear this. I apologize. No one cares about my knee, okay? It's only this. Troy Aikman said it on the air, and I'll back this up. I cannot tell by how people walk and look after a game or what their attitude is as any correlation to what the MRI shows. I didn't get hit, said, wow, something happened in my knee, but I'm glad I'm okay. Felt great until the next morning and he told me I blew out my ACL. I had no idea. If you had talked to me on the night I got hurt, I would have said, no problem, I'll be back. And that's Troy Aikman said that yesterday. You just can't tell. You can be down, you can be happy. You can have pain, you can have no pain. You just got to wait, hold your breath, and hope he's healthy. But there's no indications that really matter right now. If something bad could have happened, and he could have a smile on his face. So let's be respectful to the fact that it isn't just going to be, oh, it's great news. It could be great news, and it could be bad news.
Stan Weber's our guest. All right, Stan, Matt Moore in relief, 10 of 19 for 117 yards, one touchdown, no picks. He had the big 57-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. Had a nice little slide step there to avoid the rush and deliver the pass beautifully to Tyreek Hill. What did you think of Matt Moore coming in a very difficult situation against what was considered a good defense and was able to handle things and add some points?
I'm a Matt Moore fan from when he was a rookie. He was not a guy that anybody counted on at any point in his career, but he's never been embarrassed to be an NFL quarterback. It doesn't matter if he was teaching a while ago or thought he was retired. It's not too big for him to just say, why not me? I love that. When they said, let's start passing the ball, Denver had no answer when he just started completing passes like an NFL quarterback. And he didn't feel like he was an underdog. So he's not trying to be Patrick Mahomes. But I really like his mentality. I like his ability. And I like Andy Reid working with offenses, with the weapons he has, and with quarterbacks. That's not to create some story like we got a Patrick Mahomes on our hands. But it doesn't have to be a disaster, okay? It doesn't have to be. You just coach around it. Andy Reid will be great at that with his play calling. But if you just turned on the TV and you just hadn't watched American football and you didn't know that it was a Patrick Mahomes, you would have said, man, that Chiefs team's way better than the Broncos. And that quarterback in the white jersey's way better than the guy in the orange jersey. So, you know, we can't sit here and compare it to Patrick Mahomes because that's totally unfair. But can the Chiefs win? And can the Chiefs play well and effectively on offense? Absolutely, especially as long as they have Travis Kelce, which is the answer on any play. Anytime you have trouble and it's 3rd and 7, he can throw the ball to Kelce, and it's likely to be unstoppable. And then all you got to do is find Tyreek Hill once or twice, and you can have a big play. It's always there. So the Chiefs are going to have to rely on the weapons and put him in a good situation. But Shady, having Shady in the backfield, what an advantage that is. That dude's a great running back. We talked about that before the season, how excited I was to have him. When you have a guy like Moore quarterbacking a team, you got to have weapons around him. they got to make the plays. He's got to throw the ball 8 yards, and they got to run 20 yards rather than throwing the ball 30 yards on a dime like Patrick will. So you can still get some good offense going. It's just you got to have the weapons. So the weapons got to stay healthy, and they got to continue to run the football, throw the screen passes, and the Chiefs can win. They can win every game that Patrick Mahomes doesn't play in over a short period of time with Andy Reid and Moore at quarterback. You just got to be smart about it. The defense has got to pick it up a little bit, and they got to play complementary football. When you got Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs did what the last 2 weeks? Didn't run at all, right? They just said, put the game on Patrick and let's go, which means the style the Chiefs play, let's go for 40 points, which is fine, smart, but it makes the defense have to be reeling also and be on the field. Now you run the ball a little bit more, control the ball, do smart things, pick up first downs barely rather than 20-yard gains, and the defense doesn't have to be on the field as much. A giant boost of confidence. I think we'll see the linebackers play differently for the Chiefs. This is big. This is big. They have been such a detriment to Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl chances for over a year, probably 2 or 3 years. Even the new guys have got the cancer of you are no good and you're going to cost us the Super Bowl. This is cleansing. This is great. They needed it. I don't think the Chiefs defense is dominant. I think there's a big Thursday night factor and the Broncos quarterback style factor. I mean, Aikman's just yelling at him, do you even care? Do you even care about the game? Or are you just going to fumble every time you get touched? You know, it's amazing. The sleepy Thursday night factor is a factor, but you do not discount what the Chiefs do. You go win games. You dominate your division, and you take care of business, and they did that. So this is not a cutdown about the Chiefs. Big night, because before it kicked off, right, the Chiefs might have been a loser. When they scored and led 6-0, it did not look very good at all until Reggie Ragland stuffed the two-point conversion. You know, what a giant play. And here's my other giant play of the night. I think this is critical. Mecole Hardman's touchdown. If that pass, which likely would have been an incompletion, it was a tough throw, tough crossing route, tough double catch. If they drop that pass and start kicking field goals, we have a little bit of a hangover effect about the Chiefs' offense from the past. Even with Patrick Mahomes, you start bringing the danger of the game in. That touchdown, that stop of the two-point conversion, and the Chiefs leading 7-6, like, we're fine. Chiefs answer to Broncos. This is not the Texans game anymore. I thought the Mecole Hardman catch was giant in setting the tone that the Chiefs are going to be fine.
So, Stan, one of the things that I think that people maybe would be surprised to hear this if they don't understand the way NFL practices work. I saw a tweet from Sam Mellinger last night. He said, quote, Travis Kelce said 3 or 4 guys on offense had never caught a pass from Matt Moore before in practice or anywhere else. And that doesn't include Tyreek Hill, who actually ran some scout team with Moore when he was coming back from injury. So Hill actually caught some passes from Moore. But it blows my mind to think about a guy going into an NFL game and throwing passes to guys on his own team for the first time ever. And I'm just curious, how much of a difference does it make then for Matt Moore or any quarterback to just be able to go into next week with a full practice every single day with his guys to develop that chemistry?
It's very helpful. It really is helpful as a quarterback to have a feel for your receivers and each one of them. And kind of you've got to get a connectivity with each guy individually. So it's very helpful. The receivers like to see how the ball comes in. You know, what's the velocity when you're running that 12-yard route and they got to throw it up and over linebackers and through people, they like to know, you know, you're going to throw a low line drive between people's arms. Are you going to lay it up and over? What's the velocity? Is it a true spiral? All those things matter to the receiver. So yes, it helps a bunch, but it's amazing. These guys are pros. I mean, when you say pro, you talk about able to function in that situation. See, the NFL doesn't practice very much anymore. They really limit their reps, the time they could be out on the field. So if the offense gets to run 30 plays today, they're going to have 25 of those snaps taken by the starting quarterback. And some of the backup receivers might get to catch some passes from Patrick Mahomes, but they might find time to say, okay, Matt, get in there. You got these 5 plays, okay? And usually when he jumps in for his 5 is when Tyreek Hill and the starters, the receivers who need a little rest, are most likely to rest. So he runs 5 quick plays, and that's it for the week. Hey, you're prepared. Except for a Thursday night game, no backup reps. The starters do walkthroughs. There are no backup reps, so he didn't get to throw any passes to anybody other than a little bit of work on a scout team. So he has to play the role sometimes of the other team's quarterback in the NFL. You don't have a giant roster, so you get to throw up through the backups. But just for him to throw the ball accurately, you know, you act like, oh, those out routes are easy, and oh, Denver just gave it to him. Guys, when you haven't thrown passes in games in a long time, you haven't thrown to these receivers, and you're under the pressure on the road at Denver, it's not easy to throw a 10-yard out route and act like it's nothing. That's a pro, and that's a guy who has the right attitude. I like Matt's chances. I'm not saying he's a dominant quarterback, but number one thing is you got to have a mentality. You got to have a mentality that's not too big for you. You know, he doesn't need to be apologizing for being the Chiefs quarterback. And look, just look at his attitude in the locker room, on the field. He just said, oh, no disrespect to Patrick Mahomes, but it's my time to go out. Let's go. I'm going to go play. I'm going to throw the ball accurately. And next week, he gets an extra few days here, right? Next week, he'll be more prepared and better. He's not a dominant quarterback, but the Chiefs are one of the few best teams in the NFL with Patrick Mahomes. And if you take one stride back from that, they're still one of the best teams in the NFL, even without Patrick Mahomes. So the idea should be the same. Win. Let's go win. You lose some games in the NFL. The Chiefs missed four games with Mahomes. There's no reason why they can't go 3-1. Andy Reid is an awesome coach figuring out how to use the odds of, do I have a great quarterback? Do I have a game manager in Alex Smith? Do I have a bad quarterback or a backup? He can win under all scenarios. You just need to utilize the weapons. And, man, Tyreek Hill is a guy that is an unbelievable weapon. You throw a little 12-yard route. I mean, I could have quarterbacked the Chiefs and thrown the ball up to Tyreek, and they'd be patting me on the back for having a 60-yard touchdown pass, right? But that's no cut down to Matt Moore. It's the Chiefs have weapons.
And now, look, hey, it was not good for the Chiefs to have to turn around and play on a Thursday night going into this because of all the injuries. But now, like you said, they get some extra days of rest. And you hope that Eric Fisher and Andrew Wiley and Sammy Watkins could get healthy and give Matt Moore even more help around him offensively. You hope Chris Jones can get healthy. And so, you know, now it turns out it's a great time to have a Thursday night game to get the extra time off and to hopefully get the full complement of talent around Matt Moore for as long as he's going to be the quarterback. And so now, And like you said, some extra time of preparation for Matt Moore to get comfortable and get ready to start this next game.
Yeah, and you get to come back home. So we know this is a year of no home field advantage. Do you realize? Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is true. I should fact check myself, but I can't do it right now. I believe the visiting teams have won more games than the home teams in the NFL this year. The whole league.
Sounds right.
So, but I'm still not going to sign away and give away the Arrowhead advantage, okay? Especially if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback, then that advantage becomes even more important. And if the defense can rally a little bit, the crowd get into it, help them out, those are important things. The rest is important for the Chiefs. But you know, it was double or nothing playing a road game on Thursday night, okay? And it became triple or nothing when they lost to the Texans. We talked about this last Friday, Stephen. I think you agreed when I said, don't forget, you not only have a tough game with the Texans, but you got to turn around and go play the Broncos. And when the Broncos are playing better football, won their last two games, shut out the Titans, all those things. What a giant game! And every division game is so important. But it's even more important for the Chiefs in the division because you don't ever want to let up when you got your foot on their throat and you're flat out dominating them. I mean, it's embarrassing. The record that Andy Reid is laying down on these other three division foes. He is crushing them. I mean, their fans, every time they look on the schedule and go, home or away, oh, crap, it's the Chiefs, we're going to lose. That's right. Wasn't that 8 straight against Denver? And you are going to lose. And this was a tough situation for the Chiefs. Beat up, having to go on the road. Patrick Mahomes' ankle not great, and he doesn't get a good rest. Denver playing better, can play good defense, supposedly can run the ball, all these things in a division game Thursday night. So scary. I bet, man, who's the Chiefs fan that was cocky right before kickoff? And then who was the Chiefs fan that was still cocky when defensive penalties led to the Broncos getting a touchdown? And you're saying, uh-oh, Broncos are ahead, and they haven't even got their running game going. I bet they're going to get their running game going we are in trouble. Remember that feeling, and then think about where you are today. Other than the Patrick Mahomes factor, and that's, I can't put that in the proper context, because if he's hurt bad, it's a giant statement. But other than that, what a difference we feel about the Chiefs today. It's triple or nothing, and they went out and took care of business. They dominate this division, and that's what they want, intimidation. When Andy Reid walks out on the field, the other team ought to go, we're going to lose because that guy's too smart. And that's what the other teams in the division are thinking right now.
Home teams in the AFC, just doing it in my head real quick, looking at the standings, are 17-29 at home across the AFC. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's across the NFL. Crazy that the road teams have been so successful so far this year. But I'm still glad the Chiefs are home a week from Sunday. I'm glad they got the win. I never doubted the Patrick Mahomes curveball is there. But even if the Chiefs would have lost, I never doubted that they're the team that's going to win the division. They're the team that's going to be there to compete for the Super Bowl. And they just need to have their guys healthy at the end. And they're going to have to play great, you know, a couple of times in the playoffs, including against New England, probably at New England. And this just reminds us to respect the regular season, respect every game, don't take anything for granted. You know, you just enjoy every win. It's hard to win in the NFL, and you never know what's going to happen. And there are no excuses. You just got to go out and play no matter what your lineup is and try to win. And, there's a lot of different messages, and it's just a hard day to talk, right? Because how do we put this in perspective? It was a great day for the Chiefs in so many ways, and it could be an awful day if this MRI doesn't come out correct.
All right, Stan, before we let you go, just like get some comments on K-State coming off the bye week and their big matchup against TCU.
K-State and TCU both have already had two bye weeks, so it's been a season of just kind of no rhythm. And it really, I think, is going to come down mostly to what version of TCU do we see. They have been on opposite ends of the spectrum. When they played against Kansas, for instance, it was 5 minutes into the game, and they said, there's no doubt we're going to crush you. Everything went right. When they played Purdue on the road, they ran the ball down Purdue's throat like it was laughable, and Purdue could hardly gain a yard. So, you know, which version of TCU shows up? Against SMU, they gave up only over 40 points at home. Against Iowa State last week, they were slipping and sliding around the field and didn't feel good. So I think it's more about TCU. You know, if they come in and play at their highest level, then they're a really good defensive team. And offensively, they can really run the rock, and they got a young quarterback. So K-State's going to have to make Max Duggan, the freshman quarterback, win the game. Stop the run, force TCU to have to pass is the formula for K-State. And for the Wildcats, obviously, they need to run the ball better, but kind of the quiet thing that needs to change, they were in Baylor's territory 8 times last week, 2 weeks ago. They got the ball across the midfield. Everyone thinks about how they didn't score when they only scored 12 points. But when they hit about the 40-yard line going in, they weren't able to push the ball into field goal range and then all the way into the end zone. So even though when they got a momentum on a drive, it kind of stuttered and stopped. That's going to have to change mostly with third down conversions. That's the style of football K-State needs to play. Skylar Thompson needs to be really good. He needs to be the best quarterback on the field. But part of this story is which version of the Horned Frogs come out. Because when they put it all together, Gary Patterson leading the defense and a talent they have in the running back field, they have a lot of guys who can go. Big guys, Anderson's fast, a veteran player with over 2,000 career rushing yards. TCU is a tough team to beat when they play at their best. But, boy, they've been inconsistent this year.
Stan, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it, and we will all await the MRI later on today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Mr. Stan Weber. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to have more sound from the Chiefs locker room. We'll hear from Andy Reid, Matt Moore, Travis Kelce. We got plenty of reaction from the locker room put together by Mr. Jake Pounders, then Gary Lezak, Dr. David Chow, Sam Mellinger, Lee Sterling, Darren Smith. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.